on House File 3172, the supplemental budget bill. And we're going to start with the sheet that deals with the same and similar and go through that sheet first. And I think the way we'll proceed, we will just ask staff to quickly comment on the various sections, and then I assume, being that I'm in the chair, Senator Cohen will probably make most of the motions, although if any other member wants to feel compelled to move that we adopt one of the same items, feel free. But before we begin, I think it's important that we maybe ask staff how they arrived at the decisions of what's on the two lists. And I don't know if Mr. Sullivan, if you want to start with that and then chime in.
Mr. Chair and members, both bills, all items in the bills concern the financing of state government, but House and Senate nonpartisan staff were asked to come up with lists of provisions that have minimal fiscal impact, that are either same and similar, or they're in one bill or the other, and are unlikely to be controversial, and again, have little to no direct fiscal impact. So that's what you see before you, the two separate lists. We used our best judgment, but if there are items that members, obviously, if they're uncomfortable or feel there may be a fiscal impact and would like to come back later, then the committee can certainly skip any of the items on this list.
Okay, so with that, Senator Cohen, I think we'll take the very first one that is listed there. I think is one that is still being worked on, the R11, R12. So we'll go down to R12 through R16. You should, I think, all have it's the list that's entitled same and similar provisions. That's what we'll be referencing as we go through. Isn't that the best way, Mr. Colby? Or Mr. Sullivan? Everybody set on that? Okay.
So,
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, do you want to just make sure everybody's got this and make it clear that there were no sections found for several of the areas? As indicates, we're starting with public safety, I think.
Yeah. This is the article. That's a good point. All right, we're starting with Article 7, the public safety and corrections. The ones listed above there, there were no sections that were found. That would be Article 1, Articles 2 and 3, and Article 7. Those would be the ones with no reference for tonight's work. So then that brings us down to Article 7, the public safety part of it. Sorry, are we all on the same? I'm at the R12 through the R16, Section 7. Is that
House Section 7?
Yeah, this would be House Section 7. And it's Senate Section 8. Everybody understand the format? I was just taking the first reference point just so people would follow that line, but if you prefer, I can reference as we go both the Senate, maybe I should, Senate section as well as the House section. So R12 through 16, Section 7, House, and then Section 8 relative to the Senate. So explanation.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Chris Turner, Senate Fiscal Analyst. This section starts on R12. It runs through R16. It replicates four pages of 2013 session law. The operative language is on page R14, lines 42.2 down to 42.5. identical House and Senate. It allows the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension to fund a business analyst from the 2015 appropriation made last year. And it recognizes the $70,000 that it will cost to fund the business analyst within the BCA. That's subtracted from the transfer from the BC or the Department of Public Safety to MNIT. It's not on the spreadsheet because it doesn't have a net impact on the general fund.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't see any further discussion, I'd move the adoption of the House language.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. And that brings us to R3, Section 4 on the House side. That's Senate Section 28.
Mr. Chairman, I spoke with Mr. Marks and Mr. Nauman beforehand. There is one provision that isn't on the list here that we might want to discuss. It's on page R2 in Article 7. It's a Senate-only provision. The House was going to add it by amendment. It is purely technical. It corrects a transposition error made in the all funds total appropriation in last year's session law. And I discussed it with Mr. Nauman and Mr. Marks. And if you'd like, now would be a good time to adopt that.
Yeah, we did have Senator Cohen and I and his staff some conversation about that. Even though we're not dealing with money provisions, this is just a technical correction. So we'll incorporate that if the senator is willing in his motion.
Sure. Do you want a separate motion or just to incorporate?
Just incorporate
it. I would incorporate that.
And you move the section, but if we could get a brief explanation then of what the section deals with.
Oh, well, Mr. Chairman, members, last year when staff was putting the bill together, the number for 2015, the total all funds appropriation was $161,191,000. That we put down. It should have been 161,911. It's a transpositional error that, as we were dictating to each other, somebody made a mistake, probably me.
The subject area is what I was meaning.
Oh, it's Department of Public Safety, and it just adds up all the various divisions to the total all fund appropriation.
Yeah, just so we understood what we're voting on is what my point was.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of the House language with the Senate correction as indicated by Mr. Turner.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. The next one would be R3 through R4, Section 5. And that would be Senate Section 20.
We're moving into Article
or 29.
Excuse me. Moving into Article
8. Better get my device out here. Explanation on that. Yeah, we're in the. This is the public safety and corrections.
House Article 8.
Same article that we started in, and then we're on the second line there. The House, it begins with R3 through R4, Section 5, and Senate Section 29. Follow that?
They're going
Is that the best way to? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's now Article 8. Okay. We're learning as we go through here. Okay,
Mr. Chair, members,
yourself.
We're on Article 8, R3, House Section 4, and Senate Section 28. The House and Senate Council are actually recommending no action because it's duplicative statutory language. The language that they are adding is in current law. It's actually right afterwards. And so I don't know if the members would like to look at page R3 in Article 8 in the side-by-side.
Okay, so you're talking about what begins with the R3?
Yes, R3 in Article 8.
Okay, in Article 8.
It's Section 4 on the House side and Section 28 on the Senate.
Okay.
The new language that you see on the House side and the Senate side, but the House side is 46.15 to 46.16. That language is actually already in statute in the next sentence that you'll see on 46.17 and 46.18.
I don't even need to do it.
So it's an error. I don't know exactly why it got added. So we're recommending no action be taken on this since it's already law.
It's right below it. It's right below it.
So no action on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it's already law.
Yeah.
No action or no position not adopting these sections because the language is already currently in the law.
So then we just move on. It's duplicative. Okay. So why, I suppose.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure why it's in there. It must have been an error.
We just don't do anything.
Do it. Okay.
Yeah, by no action, then we don't need to do anything with it. Okay. What was a little bit confusing going back to the question was that first motion, the previous motion was for what was not on the list. That's where there was a little confusion as to where we were on the printed list. So what we just discussed, no action, just needs to drop its current law. Okay, the next one.
Still in Article 8, Mr. Chair. It's at the bottom of R3, but the actual language is on R4. This is House Section 5 and Senate Section 29. This is identical language that would provide that the Fire Service Advisory Committee does not expire.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Chairman, I'd move adoption of the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. Okay, now we go to
House Article 10.
House Article 10, Disaster Assistance. He said House Article 10. House Article 11, okay. I was looking up above when you said. I thought you said 10. Okay, so we're going to House Article 11. And who's going to cover that one? It should be simpler than it appears to be. There's no section, so we're just not taking it.
Okay, but it's on the list. The we're supposed to skip this. Reggie just dropped. Did you read that in bicycle pedestrians?
What?
Did you read that in or did you change it?
Changed.
House Article 11, transport.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. House Article 11 is the first of the transportation articles, and on pages R6 through R9, House Sections 6 through 10, Senate Sections 2 through 6, there are a series of trunk highway bond modifications. These refer to a MnDOT maintenance facility. There are two sets in past session law authorizing and appropriating funds for out of trunk highway bond proceeds for MnDOT maintenance facility. This comes out of a governor's recommendation to shift some of the dollars from one of the appropriations to another one in which there's a little bit more flexibility on using the funds. There's no net increase in trunk highway bonds. There's also an adjustment reducing a cancellation for trunk highway bonding coming out of the 2007 flood.
Okay, and these are identical then?
Mr. Chair, yes. These are all identical provisions.
So, Mr. Chairman, move adoption of the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Then House Article 12, there are no sections, so we go down to our House Article 13, Transportation Finance Provisions. So the one that begins with R56, all side.
And Mr. Chair and members, House Sections 14 and 15, and then Senate Sections 25 and 33 establish additional reporting requirements on MnDOT agency efficiencies. There are a couple of differences between the House and Senate. Part of the language is clarifications on the timing and when the first reporting is due. The Senate language starts the report due in 2016, whereas the House language would commence with the next report. There's also a difference in codification of the efficiencies reporting language. The House language places this in the statute and makes it effectively an ongoing component of the broader trunk highway and MnDOT projects reporting. The Senate language has a one-time efficiencies report. Both provisions include a 5% efficiency gain component. For in looking at the efficiencies against the state road construction budget in 2015.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the Senate language.
Okay, Senate language is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Next one, R56.
Mr. Chair and members, also on R56, there is a change in the funding, sort of a funding floor, a minimum funding requirement for transportation alternatives, bicycle and pedestrian primarily. This is a requirement of MnDOT in how much funding needs to be used from certain federal aid. And the change in Section 13 on the House side, Section 24 on the Senate side, is to shift from a rolling average that sets that floor to a set number of fiscal years. The House language uses fiscal years, federal fiscal years 2009 through 2012. The Senate language uses 2010 through 2012.
Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of this, excuse me, of the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. The next one that begins with R65 through 66. I'm just referencing the first box for the line purposes.
This is a set aside.
Oh, it's just a set aside?
Yeah. Mr.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yeah. Senator Cohen, this one is one that we're going to set aside. Yeah.
Prior to the meeting starting, you and I had a discussion with Commissioner Zelli, and he's asked for a chance to bring some further information to us relative to this section. So I would suggest we set this section aside.
Pardon?
Okay, so we'll pass over that one. That we'll mark that hold, which brings us down to... no sections in Article 14, so we'll go down to R23, and that's the House Article, Agriculture, Environment, Natural Resources. It's Article 15.
No, there's 6 inches of snow. It's tempting, but no.
Fort Snelling.
Mr. Chair, Greg Knapp, Senate Council, Research and Fiscal Analysis. And yes, if you look on, it's R23, and if you look at Section 17 on the House side, 11 on the Senate side, these are identical on both. This was a request by from the Department of Natural Resources that the proceeds that they get from the lease at the Fort Snelling Upper Bluff, that those proceeds would be a statutory appropriation to them. including the interest on the money, because, of course, if you don't specify any interest, it would go to the general fund. And then if you look on 102.12 on the Senate side, we're also talking about attributable to leasing and development. There have been some development activities out there, and the department's asking to have this to be a statutory appropriation, so as they receive revenue from the leases, they can use the money to attributable to the operation, development, and leasing of the property.
Okay, Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the House language. The
motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried.
And then, Mr. Chair, it's the next section on both sides are identical also. If you look at the language is actually on page R24, and you can see that both sides name the Minnesota Zoological Garden as the official pollinator bank for the state of Minnesota. And then it defines pollinator bank, but that is on both sides.
It's good.
It's identical on both sides.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Chairman, I move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us.
Want to move
any discussion? Seeing none, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, now we go to. Articles 16 through 23, general education, excellence, special education. First one is the R1 through A16.
Attendant to my response.
Section 1, Senate Section 6.
Education,
16. Mr. Chair, members, Bjorn Arneson, Senate Research. Section 1, page R1, concerns reserve revenue for area learning centers. These sections are similar but not identical between two bodies, and so compared with Mr. Strauman, what we recommend is that the motion would be to adopt the House language and incorporate the Senate new language at the line marked 143.2.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, move the Senate language.
Okay, the Senate language is before us. Okay, any discussion on Senator Cohen's motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, I think I want to make sure we understood what Mr. Arneson was suggesting. I think we were moving a little quickly there. Maybe
okay,
you want to
repeat?
Mr. Chair, members, the difference at the line on the House side marked 145.22, the way the language reads there, at least 90 and no more than 100%, is technically superior in a legal sense to the parallel language on the Senate side. So what we'd prefer is to adopt the House section with the incorporation of the new language on the Senate side, only the new language at the line marked 143.2, local optional revenue, comma.
Okay, that's what I was consulting with Mr. Marks on. So everybody clear on that?
Combination.
And the motion is to take the House section and then that language, Mr. Marks, it says local option revenue. Okay,
so
that would be incorporated.
Yep, so Mr. Chairman, we make the motion to take the House language with the suggestion for the incorporation of those several words, the Senate language.
Yeah. That motion then is before us. Okay, everybody clear on that one? Any discussion?
No.
Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Next one.
Mr. Chair, the next one is marked Section 2 on the House side. The language is identical here. This concerns the elimination of the property tax recognition shift. It's purely technical.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, move adopts in the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. The next one, House Section 5.
Mr. Chair, members, this concerns general education revenue for charter schools. The language here is identical.
Okay. So, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, we'll move adoption of the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. The next one would be House Section 9, Senate Section 51.
So, Mr. Chair, members, this is another case where we wish to adopt the House language and incorporate the Senate language at the line marked 177.20 and also 177.34. It's a similar issue to the first section that we adopted in E-12.
Okay, everybody have that? So,
Mr. Chairman, we move adoption of the House language.
And incorporating the those two Senate lines, which again, Mr. Marks, are
177.20 and 177.34.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
Mr. Chairman, would incorporate that within.
Yeah, that's incorporated then, just so we're clear. Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. The next one is House Section 11 and Senate Section 52.
Mr. Chair, members, this is extended time revenue clarification, identical in both bills.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. The next one is House Section 13, Senate Section 56.
Mr. Chair, members, identical language in House and Senate bill cleaning up last year's bill.
Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. House Section 14, Senate 57.
Mr. Chair, members, the exact same issue, a cleanup, getting rid of the words marginal cost, identical language for the House and Senate.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Okay, then we've got the House Section 15 and Senate 59.
Mr. Chairman, members, last year's education finance bill removed QComp revenue from the general education formula, an identical provision in both of the House and the Senate, clarifying the new section reference and the treatment of that revenue under the transition revenue calculation.
Okay, Senator Cohen?
Chairman, we'll move adoption of the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. House Section 16, Senate Section 60.
Mr. Chair, members, this has to do with local optional revenue that was passed in the tax bill, and the language again is, I believe, identical. Or is this
16?
Oh, 16.
Eliminating.
I'm sorry. I got a section. A section ahead of us.
This referendum.
Just eliminating an obsolete reference, identical in both bills, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, would move adoption of the House language. The
motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried.
Yeah.
Now we're Section 617 for the House and 61 for the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, identical language, clarifying the local optional revenue that was passed in the tax bill.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of the House language.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried.
They're not identical.
House Section 18, Senate 62.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair. Could
could we go back to that last one on section 17? And maybe it's just something I missed, but on line 155.22, it's location equity aid. And on line 182.19, corresponding in the Senate, it's local optional aid. And I don't know if there's a, if it has to be exactly the same or not there.
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, in the tax bill that passed earlier this year, the program was renamed from location equity revenue to local optional revenue. And there's also a reviser instruction at the end of this article to clarify those changes. So whether we pick that up now or in the reviser instruction, we'll be in the same place.
Thank you very much, Mr. Strom. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nauman, is that the point you were? You indicated you wanted to
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Marquardt, and I picked up
the
same thing.
Oh, that was the same point. Okay. So then we're down to House Section 18 and Senate Section 62.
Mr. Chair, members, this concerns referendum revenue. The sections are identical between the bodies. It's technical change related to the pupil units that have to be stated on the referendum ballot.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, we move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. House Section 19, Senate 63.
Mr. Chair, members, this concerns board-approved referendum allowance and clarifies the order of operations between the $300 board-approved allowance and the local optional revenue subtraction. Clarifies and codifies how the agency is administering these interactions that were enacted in the bill last year. Identical language between the bodies.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, I move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Section 21 on the House side and 67 on the Senate.
Mr. Chair, members, these two sections are identical in language. It concerns the current year aid payment percentage and is just a technical change recognizing the elimination of the aid payment shift.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, we move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. House Section 23, Senate 68.
Mr. Chair, members, here's another case where we want to pick up the House language and incorporate the new Senate language at the lines marked 191.26 and 191.27. It's a similar issue to what we've described earlier. This concerns alternative attendance programs.
Okay. Everybody have that reference on the Senate side? Mr. Marks, do you want to repeat that?
Lines 191.26 and 191.27 of the Senate would be added to the House article, or House section.
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move the House language with the suggestion relative made by Mr. Marks relative to the Senate language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, motion carried. House 28 and Senate 98. This is the reviser's instruction.
Mr. Chair, identical in both bills.
So, Senator Cohen.
Chairman, we move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. Now we're down to House Section 3, Senate for 5, revenue amount. Alternative teacher compensation.
So, Mr. Chair, now we're in Article 17. These two sections are identical and account for the recodification of the alternative teacher compensation program.
Any discussions? Excuse me. You got to make the motion first.
Mr.
We're getting
Chairman,
into the routine here.
I was waiting for you to call him. Mr. Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. House section number 4, Senate 40. And this is also in section 17. I should have mentioned that before.
Yes, Mr. Chair, in Article 17, House Section 4 and Senate Section 40 are identical and clarify the calculation of the new integration and achievement revenue that was created by last year's legislature.
Mr. Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, now we... still in Section 17, we go to House Section 5 and Senate Section 41, incentive revenue.
Yes, Mr. Chair, these two are identical and clean up the integration formula changes from last session.
Senator Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Now we're in Section 18, House Section 2. Senate 43, resident tuition.
Mr. Chair, members, this concerns the non-resident tuition rate for special education. These provisions are identical between the two bodies.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
The chairman would move adoption of the House language.
Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Again, Section 18, House Section 5, Senate 45. With special ed.
Mr. Chair, members, special education initial aid. This is a technical correction from the Department of Education. The language is identical between the two bodies.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of the House language.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried.
50 people.
Again, 18, Section 18, House, security. Or Article 18, House Section 6, Senate 46.
Mr. Chair, this is the section having to do with cross-subsidy reduction aid. This, again, is technical language from MDE's bill. It's identical between the two bodies.
Chairman, move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us to adopt. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Right.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, again on... Article 18, Section 7 for the House, 47 for the Senate.
Chair members, this is a special education aid section. The stricken language is at line 183.33 in the House and in the corresponding place in the Senate language. The language is identical between the two bodies.
Chairman, I move adoption of the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, on all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Again, Article 18, House Section 9, Senate 49.
Mr. Chair, members, excess cost aid. This is a technical correction from MDE. The language is identical between the two bodies.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Aye. Motion carried. Again, Article 18, House Section 10, Senate 50. Out-of-state tuition.
Again, Mr. Chair, technical correction for special education, House and Senate language identical.
Mr. Chairman, would move adoption of the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Aye. Motion carried. Now we're... In A21, House Section 4, Senate 36.
Mr. Chair, members, in Article 21, these two sections are identical and have to do with the Adult Basic Education Program and increase the amount that a single organization can receive as part of a supplemental services grant. They're identical in both bills.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the House language.
The motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, A21, House Section 6, Senate 38.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the provision we talked about yesterday that clarifies the age for the category of folks without a diploma as 25 and under to match the way the Census Bureau currently counts those folks. It's identical in both bills.
Mr. Chairman, we move the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Okay, now then, Article 24, there are no sections, so that brings us down to House Article 25. We're now on health care. I think that's the longest list I've ever had, but there was enough changes periodically where we couldn't simply adopt the whole list of one motion, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're now in the health care area.
They can do one big motion.
R1, House Sections 2 and 3, Senate Sections 2 and 3, striking obsolete language.
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. It's simply in both the House and the Senate, they're striking obsolete references to the old GAMC program. And the staff recommends taking the Senate language. Apparently, we caught one more place where it needed to be stricken.
Okay, so we clear what the Senate language and what that one place is then. Recommendation of Senate language.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us for the Senate language. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Okay, R18, House Section 28, Senate 27.
Mr. Chair and members, this is language that requires the commissioner to publish state Medicaid waiver requests and state plan amendments by public comments and to publish notice of the federal decisions. And there's some difference in the language and where this information is published. The House requires this to be placed on the DHS website and requires a summary and explanation, and the Senate does not. The Senate requires publication in the State Register.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the House language.
I guess the staff recommendation would be the House on this. It more closely reflects the agreement between DHS and the F2HCs.
Senate Laurie?
I'd move the House language.
Okay. Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. R32, that would be House Section 41 and Senate Section 31.
The minutes?
What's it again? 41.
What we got?
Supplemental recovery program changes.
Mr. Chair, this is language that would narrow the scope of an existing supplemental recovery initiative for third-party liabilities. It's identical in both bills, identical to Senate Section 31.
I think we don't use. Yeah. We don't use. Just take the Senate.
I guess staff recommendation is to take the Senate on that.
Mr. Chairman, with the Senate language.
Okay, Senate language is moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed.
Aye.
Motion carried. R35, House Section 43. And it says here Article 18, Section 75 for the Senate.
And, Mr. Chair, this is language that would require the Commissioner of Human Services to review MA spend-down requirements and processes for persons who are aged, blind, or disabled. There's a technical difference, and then there's also a difference in the reporting date. The House has a November 15th of 2015 date, the Senate the February 15th of 2015, and the staff recommendation would be the House on the grammatical differences and the Senate on the reporting date.
So, Mr. Chairman, would you have
that? Everybody has that. Okay, Senator Cohen.
That was what, moving the House language on
ways, you know,
reporting?
You're doing your document.
They get that reversed. Okay, so Mr. Chairman, move this, the Senate date and the House reporting.
That's the correct motion. Okay, everybody have that. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Now we go to, it's got several sections, R19 to R27, R37 to R38, House Sections 30 to 36 and 46, 47, Paragraph B, Senate
Chair.
Article 18.
We're going to hold on those, that there are still some issues with this particular topic that
so
is still being worked out.
So you want to hold that one,
yeah.
Okay. So that brings us down to then to House Article 26, Children and Families, North Star Care. Background study provisions.
Mr. Chair, this relates to DHS background study modifications related to the transfer of legal and physical custody of a child. Four sections, there are governor's recommendations and their identical provisions.
Chairman, move the House language.
Yeah. Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Just easier to read the title here, so I'll just say the North Star Care Policy.
Mr. Chair and members, the North Star Care Policy appears in 3172 in the Senate language. The policy for the House appears in Representative Susan Allen's 3027, which is currently on the House floor. I spoke with Representative Allen this morning, and she agrees.
Representative Mahoney.
Mic a little closer, or somebody down the hallway.
If the sergeant's office or somebody is there, we're getting a lot of traffic back and forth, which is making it difficult to hear. Okay, we'll start again then with
Mr.
the section on North Star Care Policy.
Before we move on,
Senator Lori.
One, there was a head note difference in one of those sections that I think we preferred the Senate on, which was more specific regarding one of the background study provisions. So, we moved the House version and voted on it, and if we wanted that more descriptive,
you're talking about the background study provisions.
The one was adoption and transfer of permanent legal and physical custody background study. Is the head note that the Senate used, which is more descriptive, and the House just had the more general background studies conducted.
So you'd prefer the Senate?
We had, you know, I mean, we'd work through it, and the Senate head note on that.
We'll have to have a motion to reconsider then.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Sections 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Article 26.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried.
As he had the other.
Okay, now we're back down to the North Star Care Policy.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, the North Star Care policy provisions are from the governor's bill. They appear in Senate sections in this bill that's before you. The identical provisions are in Representative Susan Allen's House File 3027, which is currently on the House floor. I spoke with Representative Allen this morning, and she is in agreement that if the conference committee accepts the Senate position in the policy, that she's willing to have that come out of her bill. So if the committee chooses to adopt these sections, the staff would recommend that you adopt the Senate sections.
So, Mr. Chairman, with the Senate language.
Okay, the Senate language is before us then. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Then you'll convey that message to her that it was
Mr.
adopted.
Chair, I will.
Okay, the next one is the parent aware study.
Mr. Chair and members, this section requires the commissioner to make recommendations to increase the accessibility for child care providers and families to the parent aware rated programs. The report is due February 15th of 2015. There is a difference in the language. The House includes some language that was related to a section in the bill that's no longer in the bill. So the staff recommends the Senate language.
Chairman, move the Senate language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the Senate language. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Now we go down to House Article 28, continuing care.
Yes.
So this would be modifies the foster care licensing moratorium.
Mr. Chair and members, existing law requires the commissioner to delicense some adult foster care beds, and the new language just has a process for prioritizing the remaining beds that are going to be delicensed. And the language is identical.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Chairman, move adoption of the Senate language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor
signify.
Excuse
me, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. We recommend the Senate language. Is that what you're moving? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what, but that's fine. So it is just to clarify the Senate language. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, the next one requires state funds for senior nutrition programs.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, these sections are identical, and it requires state funds for the senior nutrition programs to be distributed in accordance with the federal requirements.
Chairman, move the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. House Section 50, Senate Article 19 and Section 29.
Mr. Chair, members, Danielle Pinelli from House Research. This section allows the Commissioner of Human Services to amend the MA state plan to achieve the purposes of the MA autism benefit. There are a few technical differences between the House and the Senate language, and the staff is recommending the Senate language.
Chairman, move the Senate language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, Section 63 in the House, 80 in the Senate. Revisor's instructions.
Mr. Chair and members, this section provides instructions to the revisor to modify terminology. The two sections are identical.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, move the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, Article 29, no sections. So we go to House Article 30, miscellaneous section. House Section 7, Senate Section 14.
Mr. Chair and members, this section relates to the establishment of a mentally ill offenders work group to explore the concept of a hub to bring mentally ill offenders to be assessed instead of bringing them to jail. And the report is due January 1st of 2015. There are a couple differences. The Senate language includes community corrections staff in that work group, and the Senate also includes an immediate effective date. Staff recommends the Senate language.
Chairman, I need the Senate language. Motion is before us. Seeing discussion, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion carried. Okay, that gets us through that one. That brings us to standalone provisions with no spreadsheets. And House Article 1, Higher Education, no sections. So we go to House Article 2, Housing.
Mr. Chairman.
Give the people a chance.
Well, there's
to get
a transition
their
happening.
Yeah.
I think there was a page that was missed off the packet. So, with your permission, we can hand that out. A page from the.
Oh, some the more that we need to adopt from the previous section, you mean, or what?
This is the same and similar. Yes, it is for Human Services Article.
So we should have taken that. Okay,
yes.
That was an oversight. I guess we didn't get that page. So yeah, why don't we have that distributed then?
Move the page, Tony.
Doing a transition back then, that everybody hear what there was a page that wasn't distributed that goes with the same and similar provisions, an oversight. So everybody's ready. We'll go to this is Article 31, Health and Human Services again. R15, that would be House Section 5, Senate Section 5. Oh, we don't have it yet? Oh, it's still coming. Okay.
There they go.
Is everybody got it now? Okay. Again, R15. House Section 5, Senate Section 5, whichever one of you is going to come in.
Mr. Chair, Dennis Albeck, Senate Fiscal Analyst. This section is agreed to changes between the legislature and the executive branch. They're primarily technical changes to clarify the intent of the legislature in the bill passed last year.
Mr. Chair,
okay. Senator Cohen.
Move the House language.
Senator Cohen moves the House language. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. House Section 8, Senate Section 9, deletes an appropriation error.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, any discussion? Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, move the House language.
House language has been moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Great. Motion carried. Okay, House Section 9, Senate Section 10. It says related to Section 8, same issue. So.
Mr. Chair, same as the Doug Berg House Fiscal Staff. It's the same issue as the previous one. It just appears in two places in last year's bill.
Okay, move the House language, Mr. Chairman.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. The next one is House Section 10, Senate Section 11.
Mr. Chair, this just puts in some language that was inadvertently dropped in preparing Chapter 108 last year that is non-cancellation language that has always been in the bill.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, move the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. House Section 11, Senate Section 12.
Mr. Chair, this is similar to the first provision you adopted. The only difference is that instead of making adjustments to transfers, they make adjustments to appropriations.
Chairman, move the House language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. House Section 12 and Senate Section 14.
Mr. Chair, this is language that's always in the Human Services article, and it relates to exploration of uncodified language.
The boilerplate. Okay.
Chairman, move the House language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. That now finishes the same and similar. Okay, so we'll go to the transition again. We mentioned there's no similar with the standalone for higher ed, so we go down to the Article 2 dealing with housing. Everybody with us with the transition?
And these are things that are in one. We don't think they're on the first.
Okay. I'll have you announce that to the committee, Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, members, these are items that are in one bill or the other, but the staff judgment was they're not likely to be controversial, or they're likely to be non-controversial, I guess is the term I should use.
Okay, so these we may want to watch perhaps just a little bit closer than the others, which were same and similar.
Would you like to bargain with them?
And so we'll take the first one, which is Article 2, and then that's House Section 1.
Chairs, Mary Mullen from House Research. That first section in Article 2 is additional rider language to last year's appropriation, to the general appropriation, and it adds language for the Housing Finance Agency to continue their efforts to reduce disparities in home ownership rates and increase resources towards that effort.
Okay. Any, Senator Cohen, want to make a motion?
Chairman, I guess I'd move the House language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the House language. Any discussion? Being this is the first one that's new to the other body. Okay, seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. The next one is R4, Article 2, House Section 4. Deals with affordable housing plan.
Section 4 requires the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency to provide the chairs and ranking minority members in the House and Senate with the draft and final versions of the affordable housing plan. This is MHFA's funding and income and all of their spending. The agency does publish this report. They believe it would be a minimal cost to send the report to the bodies. The other part of that is that it requires an annual report on progress towards closing racial disparity gaps and low-income concentrations and housing disparities. Again, they already have this information, and they don't believe there would be any cost to provide this additional information to each body.
Okay, everybody just have a chance to look at that one.
I'm looking at it. So, Mr. Chairman, know if this is directed toward, is that yours? Well, was this Representative Clark, Representative Mahoney?
Mr. Chair,
I think this was Senator or Representative Clark, but
yeah, I this is a provision out of the housing and Minnesota Housing Finance Agency has spoken to me. This was not their language, but they could probably live with it.
So, Mr. Chairman, first section is fine. The second section, I guess, I'm wondering. Housing Finance is to report on the progress, if any, the agency has been closing the racial disparity gap, low-income concentrated housing disparities. So would they send a letter to us saying, we didn't make any progress, sincerely yours, if there's no progress? What's the qualification of the progress? And, you know, Mr. Chairman,
I think on any of these, Senator Kwan, if there are some questions, we can simply lay them over and perhaps revisit them later.
I
think that's the direction you're probably heading. If you'd like to just lay it over, we can
sure.
do that.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd move adoption of lines House language 712 through 715.
Okay. Everybody get that? That would be the first part. Okay, everybody have the motion then? Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We'll just lay over the balance of that then. Okay, that brings us down to House Article 3. Or no, there are no sections for House Article 3, so we go to House Article 4, Economic Development and Workforce Development. And my notation here says hold. Or deed?
Yeah, deed asked.
Deed asked that this be held. Okay, that's what the per deed means. Okay, so we'll hold that one. That brings us down to our 11. That's the requirement to request project information from applicants. That would be Senate Section 2. So which one of you wants to touch on that? Okay.
Mr. Chair, members. That's Section 2 on page R11 allows electric utilities to request information from an applicant who wants to for interconnection of distributed renewable energy generation. And this bill was amended to include this language. It wasn't controversial in the committee, and I believe the House file is identical and was also amended to include this language, and I don't recall any controversy about just requesting this information for applicants who want to interconnect.
Chairman, move the Senate language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the Senate language. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. The R16 is again request by a deed to hold. So that brings us to R17 to R18, and that would be Senate Section 8.
Mr. Chair and members, this section would allow for this is money that goes to cities and townships involving the taconite minerals taxes. And right now there's a requirement that one half of the money would have to go to cooperative projects, and there may not be enough cooperative projects for half of the money to go towards cooperative projects. It would still allow those to move forward, but does not require the half to go to those projects, and also removes the corresponding reporting requirements. and it was not controversial in the Senate. I don't know if I don't believe there was a House counterpart to it.
Chairman, move the Senate language.
Senator Cohen moves the Senate language.
Is that right?
Mr. Chair.
Chance to look at this one. Representative Mahoney.
Yeah, I actually haven't had a chance to look at this. I was wondering if Senator Tomasoni might be able to explain it a little bit more as to what this is doing.
This, Mr. Chairman and Representative Mahoney, this particular provision was a called something called the mining effects tax. And what we did several years ago was say that a city could use half of the money, or 2 cents of the 4 cents, for infrastructure projects within the city, and the other 2 cents had to be used for in cooperation with another city or another town. And we found out that the projects just aren't happening, and so we're way better off just letting the cities use the money themselves and use let them use the whole 4 cents. And so that's what all this is doing, is taking away the half of it being cooperative. So it's it's non-controversial, and it's actually the right thing to do.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
Representative Rukavina does like it. Former Representative Rukavina does like it.
Well, there's a word in there, former. Yeah. But Mr. Chair, am I to be led to believe that the Iron Range is being uncooperative with each other?
No, actually, what was happening was they just couldn't find any projects to do together.
Couldn't find anybody to cooperate with up there? I'm not sure. It looks like it's taconite money. Senator Thomas, that they actually have to do infrastructure programs. You're not changing any of the infrastructure, because former Representative Rukavina always used to complain that there was never enough money to repair all the damages that the mines did. So it's just all infrastructure money that they're going to be doing?
We have it set up. The way it's been changed here is that all 4 cents would go for infrastructure projects, yeah.
Like sewer, water, but not municipal buildings?
Well, let's see. What does it say? Infrastructure improvement projects, yeah.
Okay, the motion is before us. Okay, further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next one is R18. Technical changes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members, this section simply makes some technical changes to the 2013 distribution, and basically just a couple of projects have changed, and so we've changed some wording for a project in the city of Biwabik, and then also there was a waterline project in the city of Cook, and there, instead of for that particular waterline project, the half a cent will go now to just the city of Cook for other infrastructure and other improvements, but not for that particular project. So, and then there were just a couple of grammatical corrections. Other than that the section remains the same.
Mr. Chairman, move the Senate language.
Okay, Senator Cohen moves the Senate language, and that's section 9. Any discussion? We're going to go a little slower so people get a chance to look at these. So,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Mahoney.
And I suspect this is a question to Senator Tomasoni. These are just technical changes for these. For a couple of the cities. We're really not getting into the meat of the taconite distribution.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mahoney, these are distributions that we made in last year's bill, and in the case of Biwabik, the city of Biwabik just wanted to make the language more clear, to make it clear that what we're trying to do here is give them some money so that they could actually change their water supply system with the help of the money that ArcelorMittal was supposed to give them, and make it clear that it was going to be for more than one city. And they didn't feel that the previous language was clear enough, and they felt like they were getting some feedback and blowback from ArcelorMittal that was making them think that ArcelorMittal wasn't going to have to use their portion of the money to help do this, whereas their water permit said they have to use their money. So they felt by changing the language that it made it more clear that, that both this money and ArcelorMittal's money was going to be used for the well. In the case of Cook, they instead of using a half a cent for the water line project, they moved that half a cent up to the other project above so that they could use the full 2 cents. And in the other changes you see there, the words per ton were left out, which is a pretty significant amount of money. So so that was just a correction so that we got, so instead of getting 3.3 cents, they actually got 3.3 cents per ton.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Representative Mahoney.
So is the city of Cook got its waterline project finished?
I'm sorry, what's
Senator Tomasoni on line...
I see. I didn't understand your question.
134.8, you're crossing out the Cook Waterline Project.
Mm-hmm.
So am I? Has the waterline project been done and completed up in Cook?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Mahoney, this was a request from Senator Bach, and that's his city. And so I don't know the answer to your question. I just know that they wanted to dedicate the entire 2 cents to the city of Cook for street improvements, business park infrastructure, and the maintenance garage. And they apparently took it off the waterline project. So I don't know if the waterline project is done or if they decided not to do the waterline project and just do the other thing. But they wanted to dedicate the money to the other project.
And Mr. Chair, members, I want to mention on that particular Cook project that this section and that provision was already included in the tax bill that was already signed by the governor, but I believe the Biwabik was not in that bill. So we're carrying that again here. So that already did pass and was signed by the governor, the Cook part, for sure.
So it's really Biwabik that...
I believe it's Biwabik
talked
that,
about here.
That is the new.
And to testify...
Yeah, I know. I just sent her a text.
They deleted that in the tax bill itself?
Looks like they just picked up.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Mahoney, this was a Senator Bach bill that was in the tax bill, and that Cook piece was included, but it's also being carried here. Yes, that's correct.
It's already gone.
When you say the tax bill, you know, there's tax bill one and tax bill two. Was this in tax bill one?
I believe it was law? Included, Mr. Chair. I believe it was included in tax bill one.
Okay.
Anita, do you know?
Mr. Chair and members, in talking to the House tax staff, the taconite corrections are in the tax committee rather than being carried as a separate bill in the House. So. That's the information that I have from Mr. Michael.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate language.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. That brings us down to House Section 2 in the R1A5.
Mr. Chair and members, this is in Article 5, page R1. This is the St. Paul Port Authority language that authorizes them to conduct meetings by telephone or other electronic means.
Chairman, move the House language.
Okay, motion is before us.
I just had a question. You know, if we put a hold on this, maybe we could amend it, make it apply to the Minnesota legislature.
You have some of those storms up in the Duluth area, then
that's good government changing
instead.
The per diem laws.
Okay, that's House language. Senator Cohen?
I moved it.
Okay, motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. We now go down to... State Department and Veterans, that's Senate Article 7, 17, Section 27.
Yeah, they had that authority.
Well, I don't know.
The Port Authority.
Yes,
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I had a question on the previous motion for St. Paul Port Authority fine. Do the other port authorities need such authority for conducting meetings? Winona, Duluth, et cetera?
Yeah, I don't know. The staff went away from the table. If they know, I don't see any of the members. Oh, maybe Rep. Sam Mahoney knows.
Mr. Chair, quite a few of the other port authorities and quite a few of our committees and groups that we pull together have this authorization to meet by phone, so long as all votes are recorded, everyone can hear clearly the member that is not there, and one member is present in the meeting. One person has to be physically present at the meeting itself, wherever it's being held. In this case, it would be the Port Authority offices in downtown St. Paul.
Mr. Chair, Rep. Sam Mahoney, are you aware of any other entity seeking such authorization? I'm fine with that.
Mr. Chair, not seeking authorization this year. It has. Okay. We've had them come forth on occasions, but I know of no others that are seeking that this year, but at least not in this particular bill.
Thank you.
Okay, we already had the vote on the motion, so next we'll go to State Department, Senate Article 7 on R-17.
I'll find out.
James? Or?
Mr. Chair and members, this provision is provides for a study that would be conducted by the Commissioner of Management and Budget and reporting to the legislature on the advantages and disadvantages of using a dedicated account to pay for costs of providing accommodations to executive branch agency employees with disabilities. The House today passed a somewhat similar bill. And I'll let Ms. Roberts describe.
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, today the House passed House File 2785, and it is very similar. The differences between the House and Senate language is that the Senate has more detail on the reporting requirements, and then the Senate file also specifies that the report should look at implementing an account in the Special Revenue Fund. The House language is not that specific.
Does anybody wish to take any action on this section? All right, let me take a stab. Senator Tomasoni moves adoption of the Senate language.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Sullivan.
Excuse me, if I may. There was an amendment distributed that applies to this section. It would adopt the Senate language but make what we feel is a pretty technical change, and it would just require the report to be sent not only to Ways and Means and Finance Committees, but also to each body, State Government Finance Committee. That's the SCH 3172A66 amendment.
All right. Senator Tomasoni incorporates that change in his motion.
Good job.
Further discussion on the Tomasoni motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. It appears that that would be the end for State Departments, I think. Next, we have Public Safety. Okay, Mr. Backus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, my name is Ken Backus from Senate Council. So the first provision we have in this article is on R3, the top right, and it's a Senate-only provision, and it deals with continuances in juvenile cases without adjudication of delinquency. So under current law, a judge can continue a juvenile case for 90 days initially and then for an additional 90 days. What the Senate is doing here is it basically doubles that. So there's 180 days and then another 180 days. The second 180 days, the extension would have to be with the approval of the prosecutor, and both continuances would have to be as long as the continuances are not inimical to public safety. The Senate also requires that or provides that it expands the dispositional options for a judge so that a judge during a continuance can order any delinquency disposition except for transfer of custody to the Commissioner of Corrections. And then finally, the Senate provides that a prosecutor is authorized to appeal a continuance that's ordered in contravention of this section. There's a House provision, House File 807, which was passed last year out of the Early Childhood and Youth Development Committee to the Judiciary Finance Committee, but my understanding is it wasn't heard there or it didn't progress beyond that.
Further discussion on this section? Senator Thomas-Tony?
If you'd like me to move it, Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to move it.
All right. Senator Thomas-Tony moves adoption of the Senate language. Is there discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, we'll now go to the R7, Article 8, default misdemeanors.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Position.
Mr. Chair, this is another Senate-only provision. There's a section in Chapter 645 that provides that when a performance of any act is prohibited by statute, but there's no penalty for the violation, that the violation is a misdemeanor. I think it's a provision that probably not too many people know about. What the Senate does here is it provides that for essentially for new statutes, those statutes that are either enacted or amended after September 1 of this year, that the violation there, instead of being a misdemeanor, would only be a petty misdemeanor. The provision is only prospective, though. It doesn't affect any prohibitions already on the books.
Chairman, I move the Senate language.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Article 9, no sections. Article 10, no sections. Article 11, no sections. Article 12, no sections, which brings us down to House Article 13, the transportation finance provisions. The first one would be R35 through 36, and that's Senate provision dealing with Trooper Glenn Skullman highway designation. I hope I said the last name correctly.
Mr. Chair, I'm Bonnie Berzovsky, Senate Counsel, and yes, I believe you said the name correctly. Section 1 of the article is a Senate provision that would dedicate a segment of U.S. Highway 61 between Forest Lake and Wyoming to the memory of Trooper Glenn Skullman.
Chairman, I move the Senate language.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Then we go to R43 through R44. That's Section 9 in the Senate, but that is being asked to be held due to there's some work being done on it, apparently. So mark that one, members, hold. Which brings us down to the R52 through R55 commercial learner's permit, and that would be Senate Section 20.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Senate Section 20 creates in the list of driver's licenses and permits, a new permit for commercial vehicle learners. And there is a $2.50 fee for the issuance of that permit.
Okay, this one, just to give people a heads up, when we started this evening, we weren't going to take anything that had money associated with it. Mr. Marks just mentioned to me that there is some money attached to it, so maybe Mr. Marks can explain it, and then we can decide whether we want to make an exception to what I think we had started out to do. It's what is some 25.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe there's 25,000 of revenue and 25,000 of spending, and it's revenue to pay for the, or it's fee to pay for the license. But I believe there is $25,000 of revenue and spending. It's not general fund. It's in a special revenue fund account.
Do you want to hold it or take it?
Well, it's Senate language. So.
It's not a separate bill. It's the governor's, and it was a governor's recommendation. Okay. This was a... Mr. Marks, being that this was something a little unexpected and that there was a cost and we had that as a general rule, but maybe give a little bit of the background as to where it is in the House.
Mr. Chair members, this was also a governor's recommendation, and this is in a separate bill that's on the general register in the House, and I believe it's for the calendar for Monday or Tuesday, but I believe Monday, but so it is moving in each of the bodies.
So, Mr. Chairman, just wanted everybody to understand that it is a bit of an exception to what we had as a guideline, but I think I'm fine with it.
Mr. Chairman, given Mr. Marks's explanation, I'd move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Then we go down to our 55, that's Senate Section 21, Federal Conformity to Commercial Driver's Licenses.
Mr. Chair, that section actually is a part of the same initiative as the previous section of the Commercial Learner's Permit. So I think it's probably also in the bill that's pending in the House. And this has no money attached to it, as far as I know. It's and it requires the state to conform to federal law when it comes to matters of commercial driver's licenses and operation of commercial vehicles.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the Senate language.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. We now go to R55, that's Senate Section 22.
Mr. Chair and members,
products and services.
Yes. Mr. Chair and members, Section 22 authorizes MnDOT, the Commissioner of Transportation, to bill the units of the agency for the costs of centrally managed supplies and services.
Okay, and that's something that's required in law? I'm just kind of curious. They can't just do that, but.
Mr. Chair, this was a governor's initiative. I believe it was requested by, or at least supported by, the department. It's permissive, not mandatory.
Apparently, they need the permission. I guess it just seemed a little odd to me, but.
Chairman, I move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. I'll say MMB. R55, Senate Section 23.
Mr. Chair and members, Section 23 removes a date restriction on the fund availability within the Transportation Economic Development account so that all funds in the account are available until expended.
Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, move the Senate language.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. R60, light rail. Senate Section 30.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Section 30 requires the Metropolitan Council to adopt standards for light rail vehicle design to promote accessibility and safety. The standards have to be adopted by January 1, 2015, and after that, any procurements of light rail vehicles have to conform to the standards adopted. There are minimum standards specified in the section, including 2 dedicated spaces for wheelchair users, adjacent companion seating, and any further specifications that are adopted have to equal or exceed the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Just so members have a heads up, this is another one that does have some cost to it. So just so people are aware, Mr. Marks,
Mr.
comment, it's not the state, it's not a cost to the state, to state funds, but it is to the Metropolitan Council.
Mr. Chair, and I should add, this is also a separate bill that's on the House General Register, but there was a fiscal note with this. The number was between $200,000 and $300,000. There's no appropriation for it, but it was going to cost the Met Council some between $200,000 and $300,000, I believe.
Just so people know that, again, because we were not necessarily going to deal with cost items, but obviously as we go through, a couple of them have popped up that do have some cost factors. So
Mr. Chair?
I just want everybody to understand that there is a cost, but it is to the Met Council, not to the State General Fund.
Mr. Zofsky, could you tell us currently with, for example, the Hiawatha Light Rail Line, have they complied with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and is that how those cars are actually structured?
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, just based on the testimony that we heard in committee, the Hiawatha line and the Green Line, well, the Hiawatha line, yes, it complies with Americans with Disabilities. The Green Line does as well. But the standards having to do with the dedicated spaces and adjacent seating in particular actually that are specified in this particular section actually exceed the Americans with Disabilities requirements.
John's here too. Now, I understand and I see a representative of the Met Council is here. I know when this was going through the House, there was no opposition to it, so maybe you could just for the record point that out, being that there is a cost to the council. Just briefly give the council's position.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Judd Shetton, and I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Met Council. And you are correct. The Met Council does support this this language, and there is a cost to this on the future light rail vehicles that we are hoping to procure through the Southwest Corridor LRT line. But we are also hoping that when we order those vehicles that we'll be able to work with the Siemens, who is the contractor, to allow us to wrestle that that cost down. But we didn't want to show a cost, but this was also a very large procurement. We're talking in the order of about $140 million. So we figured the $288,000 is something that we would be able to work with our builder on trying to get that number down. This, and to Senator Bonoff's question, the light rail accessibility standards on Hiawatha, or the Blue Line, are at ADA standards. There was an issue related to, we went with a different provider than, or builder of our light rail vehicles from Bombardier to Siemens, and there was an issue where there was a change that was made as far as the ADA accessibility. The light rail vehicles on our Siemens vehicles were ADA compliant, but they weren't as accessible to our ADA wheelchair users. So we were working with them, worked with Senator Dibble, Senator Carlson, and we are making those changes. And to make a long story short, we do support this.
Okay. That was the main point I wanted to make with this.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Paid by the word.
This was one that we did pass out of Ways and Means the other day, but just wanted to give people a heads up that there was a cost. Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. The R61 through R62, that's House Section 20. That's one that we've been asked to hold by the Met Council temporarily, I guess. So we'll go to the R62. That's section of Section 21, Autocraft Documentation.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with Health
okay,
Research.
Contamination. Decontamination. Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair. That's a House-only provision that directs MnDOT and the Department of Natural Resources to cooperate on utilizing MnDOT rest areas to perform water, like create a station area for watercraft to be decontaminated to help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Chairman, I move the House language.
The motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. By the way, if I miss a word once in a while, it means I haven't been using my. I have a problem with dry eye, and it's sort of intermittent. So if I mispronounce a word once in a while, as I just did, it's because it isn't always as clear as I hope. But at any rate, we go down to the next one, which is R62. That is the Senate Section 32.
Mr. Chair, and it's actually R63. It was a typo on the list. And Section 32 requires the Commissioner of Transportation to conduct a study of all of the state's two-lane, two-way trunk highways that are posted at 55 miles per hour now. And the study has to be done over 5 years. All of these segments of highway have to be evaluated as to whether the speed limit could safely and reasonably be raised. And if that's the case, then the department will raise those speed limits and post the appropriate signs. And the department will be reporting each year back to the legislature on the progress of this study for the 5 years that it is to take place.
Mr. Chairman, I realize this is Senate language. I don't serve on the division. If I could just inquire of Senator Dibble, was there any suggestion of including any highways with a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, not that was expressed
good.
Out
that's
loud.
That's all I wanted to know. That's fine.
Can we have an amendment for that? Call it the PAMAR section?
Thank you. Chairman Representative Mahoney, I assume if that ever came from the House, you would vote correctly.
That's
I would always
issue.
Vote correctly.
That's been an issue almost as long as I've been here. With that particular speed limit.
As long as Marty Seifert's been alive.
That's true. People probably don't know what you meant by that.
I think they do. Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate line.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. What he was referring to there with everybody kind of joking was we were going through introductions on the House side, and Representative Seifert at the time then pointed out that he was born the same year I was elected. So that dated both of us to a degree, probably me more than him. Okay, we get down to the next article, number 14, which is Agriculture, Environment, Natural Resources, R3 through A14. That
Scott, if he wants this next thing done,
deals with the industrial hemp research report. What it says there is
it's just a house.
So it's just strictly, I guess this was, in spite of your hearings today, this was, well, this is a whole different issue. I shouldn't even go there. Yeah. So,
Mr. Chair, Greg Knopf again from Senate Council Research and Fiscal Analysis. This is a House-only provision on 98.7 on page R3 of the Environment and Ag article. And this would be, I don't know if Mr. Sullivan wants to add anything to this, but basically it sounds like it's a report that the Department of Agriculture will do on other states implementing industrial hemp research authorities under the new Farm Bill. And apparently there's no cost to this, and the department is willing to do this.
Okay.
Chairman, I move the House language.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, motion is before us.
I've got a really big amendment I could add to this one.
I didn't hear.
I said I got a really big amendment I could add to this one.
Oh, you've got a big amendment.
Mr. Chair, right, I think Lori he might have the votes.
But at least this evening, that's why I said maybe I shouldn't go where I was about to go because I was aware of what was going on in the Senate recently. Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, we'll go to House Article 24, the Health Department, and that's R1.
Skip one.
Oh, did I miss one?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed. Yeah, I didn't. I missed the last one. That was R50 through A14.
Good.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's the Agriculture and Environment section, Article 15.
Okay, Mr. Chair, it's on R50 of that side by side, and it's Senate Section 22. And what this is there's a statutory appropriation enacted last year to the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, and they have the money going through the Commissioner of Revenue for transfer, but the legislature appropriates money directly to the AURI for the purposes of the AURI. And rather than running it through the Commissioner of Revenue, this is a technical change that would just state that that it's appropriated to the AURI.
Okay. Senator Bonoff, care to?
I move it.
Make a motion. Okay, motion is before us that we adopt the Senate position. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll go to the next article, which is the Health Department. That's R1 through R2. That's Senate Section 1. It redefines rural area, et cetera. Who's moving forward on that one?
Hey, Tony, I like these. Mm-hmm. I like these. We're in your sandbox. No?
Just one moment, Mr. Chair. Oh, thank you.
This is the one that redefines rural areas for purposes of healthcare, health professionals.
It is. It's a Senate-only provision. Take it. What else do you need to know?
Well, it's a Senate position, and it redefines a rural area for purposes of a health professional loan forgiveness program. So
sounds good.
I don't know. I'm familiar somewhat with the loan forgiveness program, but it's redefining what areas of the state that would be covered or what exactly is happening there as you're catching your breath.
Mr. Chair, what it does is it changes the definition of designated rural area as it pertains to the loan forgiveness program. And basically changes it to include a city or township that is outside the city, county, metropolitan area, and has a population under 15,000. And therefore, so if a professional would be eligible for the loan forgiveness program, if that professional, as part of the loan forgiveness program, and for specific professions, would agree to practice within a designated rural area, and then would be eligible for the loan forgiveness program. I believe the change is due to bring in an area up in the northern part of the state that is looking at trying to get some professionals up in that area and then would be able to take advantage of this loan forgiveness program.
Okay. Representative Hundley?
Mr. Chair, I'm fine with this.
Thank you.
The Senate language.
This is an issue we've tried to address in a variety of ways through the years to try to get more health professionals into underserved areas. Actually, it's not always just rural. Sometimes it's some center city areas that have difficulty attracting healthcare professionals as well. So, Representative Hundley, you care to make a motion?
I would move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion?
And
scene.
Mr. Chair, just to your
Senator
point, designated rural area is one of the definitions where this loan forgiveness program could work, but there's also an underserved urban community later on in the definitions that would also be eligible too. So it's not to the exclusion. It's loan forgiveness for you know, those underserved areas, be they urban or rural. Yeah. But
and that's why I was bringing it up, yep, was just so that there is that understanding that we do have underserved areas really throughout the state. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. That brings us down to next one, which is R18 through R19. That's Senate Section 8.
And Mr. Chair and members, this is a Senate-only provision, and this requires the Commissioner of Health to develop an implementation plan for stratifying measures based on disability, race, ethnicity, language, and other socio-demographic factors that are correlated with health disparities and impact performance on quality measures. And these are quality measures that are being developed by the commissioner under Chapter 62U.
Okay. Senator Lurie?
It's a pretty good provision. It was worked on with the Safety Net Coalition. I know I've worked with Representative Huntley on scoping this. I think that as we move into new payment models in healthcare, truthfully, understanding how additional risk adjustment is needed for people with health disparities is going to be critical for their success. And so beginning to scope this work is something that's been a real high priority, and this gets there in a budget-neutral manner.
Move it.
Representative. Mr. Chair, I support this.
Would one
Senate
of you care to make a motion?
I would move the Senate language.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. That brings us down to House Article 25. And the first one would be R29 through R30, House Section 38, Healthcare Homes Advisory Committees.
Mr. Chair, Randy Chen with House Research.
That one,
this is
I think I've got that hold.
Mr. Chair,
hold,
Tom
Huntley. I didn't notice that at first. So,
yeah, there is the identical language in the policy committee, and there may be an amendment, and I probably would support the amendment to add a specific group to be on this committee, but I would have to talk first to the departments to make sure they'd be okay with that amendment. So I just put a hold on this.
Yeah,
one.
We'll hold this then. My error, I didn't notice the notation here right away. So that'll bring us down to R36, House Section 45.
Mr. Chair, this is a section that requires the Commissioner of Human Services to study the financial viability of the Minnesota CARE program and to report recommendations to the legislature.
Mr. Chair, I would I don't know if I should move the Senate language, because the MMB has just issued a report that does this very thing, so it's not needed.
It's
we just won't move
the House language.
So I just would I move then to not adopt this?
We don't even need a motion. We can just. Well, I suppose we could move not to adopt it, but where we just drop it.
Yeah, bury it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
you mean it's already okay? We'll just drop that one then. Okay. R37.
Next one as well.
That happens to be Senate language.
But we need to hold on that one as well.
You need to hold on it as well. Okay. Then R38. That's also Senate language. Section 35.
Mr. Chair, that should be good to go. This is a Senate only. It requires the Commissioner of Human Services, in consultation with the Commissioner of Health, to convene a work group to develop a new delivery and reimbursement system for oral health and dental services that are to be provided to the enrollees of the state public health programs.
Would you care to make a motion then, Representative Huntley?
I would move the Senate language on Section 35.
Motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, House Article 28. Continuing care, R15, that's deals with the Board of Aging, and that's Senate language, Section 3.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Joan White from Senate Council. Senate only Section 3 in Article 28 deletes the requirement that the Board on Aging must contract with a nonprofit to provide educational services to councils.
I'm looking to both of our healthcare
Mr.
people.
Mr. Chair, I would, again, support the Senate language.
Okay, so.
Then I would move Senate Section 3.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. The next one would be dealing with R90 through A28, R91, A28, that's Section 73 in the Senate.
Mr. Chair, this section extends the consumer-directed community supports pilot program for transition-aged youth. And what it does, the pilot was going to expire in 2013. It moves it through 2015 and it allows 20% more funds for this age group in order to pay for day and employment support services.
Again, I would support that and move that we adopt Section 73.
Okay, motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Brings us down to House Article 30 and provisions related to closures of community mental health facilities. That's Senate Sections 1, 2, and 15.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senate only Section 1 requires counties to develop a transition plan in the event that a contract is terminated with a community mental health provider. And Section 2 requires a plan by providers as to how to transition clients and records if the facility closes. And Section 15 is a study of mental health rates for community mental health services due February 1st of 2015.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language, and this is a very important issue. And Senator Laurie, I will give you the exact locations, but there's an area from about, I think, from Carlton over to McGregor. I don't know how many counties that was, where we had a mental health organization that was treating people in this large area of the state. And on Friday, they decided to go out of business. And so the next, on Monday morning, there was nobody to take care of these people. And so what this bill does is, or what this section does, is not just look at this section, but look at the whole state in case this would happen again, that we would be prepared to do something.
Senator Laurie.
Chair, there was a five-county area on the eastern border, you know, Pine, Isani, Kennebec, Mille Lacs, one more county. Anyway, about 4,000 people with mental health issues found out on Monday when they called or tried to show up that this facility was no more, and it was a tremendous disruption for these people, for the other providers in the region to try to pick up the slack. Terrible confusion. This is something I worked on hard with Sue Eberholden with NAMI, and worked with the counties and with DHS to make sure this all works and just make sure that we have, if you know, our mental health system is stressed and is under constant financial pressures. And if something like this needs to happen, there needs to be a transition plan so that we don't have a terrible disruption for consumers that we are currently still working through right now due to that closure. So this works, and you know, everybody has caught on and said that this is a good approach.
Okay, the Hundley motion is before us. Then any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Now we go to Article 31. This is the dedicated funds report.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
For R37, that was A31, and it's Senate Section 13.
Mr. Chair, Dennis Albrecht, Senate Fiscal Analyst. This is a Senate provision that requires the Commissioner of Human Services to submit to the legislature with each February forecast a report that shows the dedicated funds, why they were created, the legislative citation for their creation, and the balances and activity in those funds.
I was just checking. We've had some hearings about reports on dedicated funds, but Mr. Mark said that this would be a good idea, being as dealing with the Department of Human Services. So just because we'd had hearings on dedicated funds and reports and so on, that's what I was asking. Okay.
So Mr. Chairman, move the Senate language.
So Senator Cohen moves the Senate language. Any discussion? Seeing none, none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Okay, that brings us to another transition. I think I've got a list here, but I think we're going to start with members that are not on the committee. What we're doing here now is I guess I'd call these discussion items of, you know, we talked about bills or articles that are in one bill or the other that are of substance, and that the idea would be to have the authors and or the committee chair do a presentation. So the list I have here is the Senate list. Let's see who would be. Is Representative Sieben here, or Senator Sieben?
It's going to be long. I don't know if this is.
Mr. Chair, is there
been
a
here
list
for a longer period of time?
Mr. Chair, we don't have a list.
They don't have. They're on the agenda. Oh, the list is on the agenda. I've got a more extensive one here.
We have a House
list.
Okay,
the ones I see, Ms. Conley pointed out that the ones that are here now that are not on the committee, one would be Representative Hackbarth. Is he present? Okay. And then it would be Representative Hansen, Representative Hornstein, Senator Saxog. And Representative Lesch. Okay, those are the ones that are not on the committee, so we'll put a priority on you folks. Okay, if you want to explain.
Representative Hornstein's here.
No. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hackbarth. Yeah.
The section in the bill that I have is it creates a $20 annual fee for non-resident trail pass for off-road motorcycles. We've done this in the past for snowmobiles and ATVs and that sort of thing. When we had the hearing in Representative Wagenius' committee, I don't believe there was any opposition, and it was very non-controversial.
Okay, anybody have any questions of Representative Hackbarth?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Okay,
we'll be acting on these issues later, where this mainly informational at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Lesch.
These are just.
I was looking at two different lists, and were actually should have been the one up first, but.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I just didn't recognize him without a vest.
There's been a transition since floor session, hasn't there? Yeah.
I have a vest down under this shirt.
Well, this deals with dog and cat breeders.
Yes.
And I see you have a person with you if you want to introduce that person as well.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair, we'll actually probably just keep it low profile if need be. In fact, we'd go as fast as Representative Hackbarth. That'd be great. House File 84 has gone through many changes since we started with this during the administration of George W. Bush. And we've had a lot of input from many people over the course of that time, small breeders, veterinarians, agriculture interests, Board of Animal Health and Animal Welfare Advocates, Minnesota Veterinary Medical Association, Farmers Union, and citizens. Over 30 compromises have been made just over the course of the past year, during which we've made a lot of progress in order to ensure that this is palatable to all the stakeholders. This bill addresses the problem we face in Minnesota and the vast majority of other states that have passed laws regulating the industry, for that is, in fact, what this bill does. Minnesota is one of the top total producers of puppies in the United States, with some of the largest dog breeding kennels in the nation, and kittens are also mass-produced here. We're not going to pass out the pictures because a lot of times people don't want to see those, but that is, in fact, why this bill is up, both the photographs of the deplorable conditions as well as the recurring news stories that all of you see through many of your districts that this bill is meant to address. For right now, Minnesota has only a complaint-based system. So this bill institutes a system whereby we can ensure that there is some accountability and regulation in the industry. So with that, Mr. Chair, I guess I would stand for questions. I think most people know this bill since it's been up over the course of the past 6 years. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Any questions, any discussion? Representative Wagenius.
To mention, as the bill went through the various committees in the House, there were no changes made from the negotiation that was the original negotiation. So I think that's just important to understand. It has been through several committees, but no changes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, Representative.
With the Senate Committee Chair, can you share the differences in the current Senate bill with what
we had in our provision? Well, thank you. The Senate bill stalled in committee in the Senate, Mr. Chair and Senator. But it, as far as I was not tracking the changes that occurred up to that time that happened, so.
Significant change.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm seeing that there no changes. Three people told me no changes in it. I'm assuming that's correct.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Bonner.
Representative Lesch, I'm a strong supporter of the bill, but I just want to make sure that I understand.
I just don't want to bring him over.
Thank you.
We're doing a little side negotiation. Did you get your question? Any other questions of Representative Lesch?
Eric.
You have a person with you if you want to make a quick comment, or you're just there to answer specific questions. You can identify yourself.
My name is Keith Streff, and I'm the Senior Humane Agent for the Animal Humane Society, and I was here to take questions, and I'm all about brevity and hockey myself. So,
thank you for coming. And, smart thank you, Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay, we're going to go with Representative Hansen. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm speaking on House File 2591, which was included in the House language. And this was actually an idea that came from a constituent. The Senate authors are Senator Metzen and Senator Sieben. And I had a constituent that contacted me and said, you know, we have state park permits. We put that sticker on our windshield every year. Why don't we just have a state park plate? So the plate serves as your permit. You don't have to do things twice. The plate is the permit. So this is not Representative Mahoney, another vanity plate. It's an actual permit so that you would buy that when you're getting your license. You go to the state park, you look at the plate, you don't have to get another sticker. So you're paying for it when you renew your tabs. You could have the plate have a contest as well, as long as that you are able to read that plate. But it would be the plate serves as the park permit. That was the idea. Now, as the bill moved through the legislature, we discovered that there was a hole in the park's budget, which I believe the DNR could address. And it'll take time for the implementation of the plate, but this would provide ongoing funding to help address that hole that's in the park's funding, and the DNR could probably address that hole as well.
Okay, any questions of Representative Hansen? Representative Mahoney, you look like you had something you were about to say.
Maybe Representative Hansen could explain the difference between a vanity plate with one thing on it and a state park plate that has another picture on it. I have an aversion to a lot of these multiple different plates. I don't know where I picked it up. Maybe some past legislator that said it was very difficult for police officers to try to discern between which plate was which plate, and I expressed myself fully to Representative Hansen, and he dismissed it. So I'm sure I'll deal with it later.
I was going to say, don't lay too much groundwork because it is a House position. But
I understood. That doesn't matter, sir, Mr. Chair.
I don't know if
understand.
I don't know, Mr. Chair, if I dismissed it. I think I helped try to enlighten Representative Mahoney about
tomato,
it.
Tomato.
But it would be a permit as well, so it's more consumer friendly. You just do it once, and there it is. It's on the plate.
Mr. Chairman.
Can I ask our Senator Thomas,
Representative Hansen, so does this plate say Minnesota on it?
Mr. Chair, it would. Senator Thomasoni, yes, it would.
And does it have a number on it so people can read it?
Yes, it would.
Huh.
People aren't here. I don't like the question. In the list they've put together for me.
Yeah, we'll just finish this one. Did you get a hold of Ryan Winkler? Oh, he's here?
Thank you.
Yeah, he's not coming. What? Our side conversations where we did have a member that was originally scheduled that is off site, and we were wondering if he was going to be here before we adjourn, and he's not, so we'll just reschedule that one. And that was the Toxic Kids one. So if there's anybody here for that particular one, that'll be talked about later. So next one would be Representative Ornstein. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good evening, members. I'm here to briefly discuss a provision that's in the House side of the supplemental budget bill, and it pertains to updating our policies around solid waste and recycling and composting in the state. We have goals that have been set since 1989. Some of you were here when Governor Perpich established SCORE, the Select Committee on Recycling and the Environment. And in that legislation, goals were set up for the metro area and for rural counties. And those recycling percentage goals have not been updated or examined since 1989. So we're acknowledging the changes that have taken place in this industry since 1989. And recently, the Pollution Control Agency, the metropolitan counties through the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board have increased recycling goals in the metropolitan area to 75%. 60% of that is recycling. 15% of that is organics composting. The composting goal is particularly important because the Pollution Control Agency has recently done a study of the waste stream, and they have seen that the percentage of organics, which is food waste and non-recyclable paper products, that's 31% of the waste stream. So the idea is to be able to use some of our SCORE money to also provide grants to municipalities, counties, and other entities that are involved in composting. Hennepin County is doing that, and some other metropolitan counties are doing that as well. This policy is meant to also follow some money that we have in the bill to redirect some of the SCORE grants from the to its intended purpose, which is funding local recycling and composting efforts from the general fund. It's collected as a solid waste tax, but not all of it, actually quite a bit of it, is not going to its intended purpose. So that's another policy that we have in the bill. So with that, members, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions of Representative Hornstein? Again, that's to build familiarity with some of the bills that were in one
correct
side or the other.
And Mr. Chair, members, I did pass around an editorial that really sums up this issue very well. It was in the Star Tribune last Friday, April 11th. I didn't have the date on it, but it was a Friday, April 11th, Star Tribune masthead editorial, which kind of summarizes the issues.
See no questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And people can just wait a moment. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know there you had one other matter on your list.
That I agree with you.
And I know Representative Winkler is not here, so we'd like to have a chance to listen to him on a fairly significant part of the House bill. I'm not sure that we have, in terms of trying to match up a little bit of apples to apples, obviously we have a number of matters of some controversy in our bill, not controversy, but in terms of differences as to how we arrive at our numbers in the Senate bill. But I'm not sure they fall into the category of some of these larger legislative efforts. So I think we, Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked, probably have reached the conclusion of this evening, and you and I will have to have a conversation and announce what agenda we'll have for tomorrow. And just in terms of planning, I think House goes into session
at
10 o'clock, and we're in session at 11, I think. And the Senate Finance Committee is going to meet tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock?
Immediately after session.
After session. So I'm hoping that's early afternoon. We'll need a couple of hours, so we'll see where we are in terms of an agenda for tomorrow and where we are in terms of time. You know, if we get caught up late on our side of it, we're not going to, you know, have a meeting at, you know, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, is that we've discussed this, but again, this bill is more tied to the capital investment bills than we've seen historically. And in terms of starting to plow through some of this and really make some significant decisions, we'll need the single dollar target for this bill, the determination of where we go with the one-time money in both the House and the Senate. Is there money placed in this bill, money placed in the capital investment bills? And obviously, Speaker Thiessen and Senator Bach have to speak about some of that and do so in conjunction with the governor. And we'll see what happens tomorrow in terms of if any progress is made in that regard. Probably not do anything over the weekend. I don't want to really let people down in that regard. all disappointed. You would like to be here Saturday night. I would like to be here Saturday night. Yeah, Senator Wigger very much wants to be here Saturday night.
I could stay with you if you don't want me to.
Pardon?
Nothing.
But if we don't have a number, it might be difficult. But I sure would expect we'll have some determination made on that Monday, Tuesday, and start putting the bill together with the numbers.
I didn't realize that you had such a sense of humor. You know, Saturday. Well, no, they did fill the Saturday, or not Saturday Night Live, but the Tonight Show. That's filled now, isn't it? So,
one of my fellow alums.
When you talk about the availability of people for the weekend, just a footnote of what Senator Cohen was saying. You know, there's really three bills that are kind of interlocked, and that has to be worked out. There's the tax bill, the bonding bill that Senator Cohen was referring, and obviously the supplemental bill. And once that structure is in place, as Senator Cohen was saying, then we'll be moving forward with the appropriation sections of this bill. Well, we're about to adjourn, but I'm reminded that the Senate will be using this room tomorrow. So just a couple of announcements in that regard. If you could gather together your papers and folders, this is from the staffs, and if the audience could leave nothing behind, because the room will be secured. And then the room will leave be open here after the Finance Committee and staff have set it up after they meet in this room, probably from 1 to 3, 1 to 4, whatever that time works out to be. So I've got a question. Is the House materials going to be put on the cart, so we'll secure the cart somewhere? So if members can gather them up, and then we'll, at least for the House stuff, Ms. Conley will get them on the cart. And Ms. Polkamp, I think, is here to help as well.
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen, you indicated that you didn't want to – I heard that if the Finance Committee went relatively late, not likely to meet. I heard from Chair Carlson that the Finance Committee would probably be done sometime between 2 and 3 or 3 and 4. One of the two of you be a little clearer?
Well, I was basing that on a conversation I had with Senator Cohen earlier that he thought he would meet a couple of hours, but I'll let him comment on that. I think what he was saying, if I may, though, that if it gets too late, we won't meet. If they adjourn, complete their work at a reasonable hour, we'll still meet and take care of some miscellaneous items that we have to do.
And we also have to determine what agenda we would tentatively look at for tomorrow. So Rivers and Carlson and I will talk right after this. I mean, we're not going to let people, whether legislators or folks enjoying all this, just hang on for hours on end. We'll get something out fairly quickly tomorrow. Certainly, I would hope by noon, 1 o'clock.
Do you have any controversy on the agenda tomorrow, Senate? I mean, for your committee?
I don't think so.
That might help people think. If they're not dealing with a lot of controversy, maybe they'll be done. But we'll keep you informed as best we can. I think the point is that if it does get late, we're not going to convene the committee at a late hour.
I just wasn't sure whether you were talking late hour of notifying us at 6 o'clock in the evening or...
I think once Senator Cohen has a feeling for the Finance Committee and how long it'll go, hopefully it'll go like some of ours have of late, with Ways and Means, and they'll get done early. So if you've got all your materials put together, then Ms. Polkamp and Ms. Conley will load them on the carts. And
adjourned
with that. Meeting adjourned.